Yes, dear people, dear lovers, welcome to Table Set Yourself number 10. This is a special episode, I feel, not for the number, but for the feeling I got today, since I got it in me to get out a, well, maybe not brilliant, but at least decent podcast episode today. And yesterday, I already had this feeling. I was loaded like a cannon and wanted to fire off my words, my discourse here, but then it felt like I got stuck. And I didn't even know if the episode was that good, didn't listen to it. It was meditative in a way, I think, yeah. And this felt like a big meditation at the end. Yeah, it was great. But, so contemplation. Contemplation is a word I like, because it's not clear what are we talking really about when we talk about thinking. Is this thinking thing not really more of a contemplation thing most of the times? But yeah, contemplation, you're looking, you're contemplating, you're taking insight, the impressions, and contemplating over a subject, perceiving it from all different angles. And here outside of my window is a nice looking tree. I don't know what kind of tree, but it has flowers now. It has blossoms flowering. Maybe a walnut tree, walnus. We have that here. Or, I think it's an apple tree right there, because there are all kinds of apples lying there in the summer. But interestingly, our contract, the owner of the house says we mustn't pick up the apples. It's forbidden that we, as the Mieter, the inhabitants here of the house, the seven rooms, we can't eat or pick up the apples. I don't know why, but therefore they just rot there in autumn. And this girl from Ukraine living downstairs, she wanted to pick them up, she said, because then, yeah, it smells so bad if they rot there. But no, you can't pick it up, they said. Leave it there. But okay, it's a complicated construct here, because there's the legal owner, and then there's some enterprise, some business in between us and them, and yeah, organizing the contract and totally ripping us, like I told yesterday with the internet. It's always there are shortages of internet disconnections, and I don't know why. It's really a rip off. It's really, well, it's, yeah. And I should, I know, but this is also the thing that everyone here, I get this feeling, yeah, in this house, looks up to me. I don't know why, maybe because I'm the only German, but I don't like this view they have towards me. They look at me and say, yeah, you could organize everything, right? You're the big man, the Bestimmer. You're the one who says what to do. And yeah, of course, I know I should maybe take that role a little more, because also I'm the only native speaker of German. Of course, it makes communication easier with those owners or the firm, the company renting this apartment. Yeah, I should maybe, and I try. At least I made this cleaning plan, right? And cleaning plan is always important. Yeah, but still, I like to mention this, that this inertia or shyness, we all have it in ourselves. And I only perceive it maybe because all my life, or well, a good part of my life, I felt this shy and didn't know why or what even. And but it's maybe normal, and everyone is like this, only in their small bubble where nothing can come outside. Only there we dare to be really a little more open and be ourselves. And just be ourselves. Okay. So, yes, dear colleague, also today I feel, yeah, feel there's a lot to say and feel the tension is rising still. It's but it's also lowering on one. On the other hand, because it felt so amazing today, we finally did it and looked into each other's eyes and you took the initiative and wow, yeah, was like this. And yeah, it wasn't even that great, right? When you think about it, also the first time you have sex is never that great, maybe because you imagine it could be like this or that, but still it felt like a great relief now. And finally, and you looked like a majestic wild animal, a wild cat looking at me, maybe something dangerous also, but also something, well, a little desperate. Maybe also you telling me that also you'd like to go back to having these conversations. And yeah, of course, me too. We'll see tomorrow. It's Friday. See what happens or next week. There's no rush, right? It's a difficult age, world historic age, as I explained. And therefore, I feel this need to take it slow and to really make my point clearly. Also, this point about this whole situation with gender roles, and have to reflect and contemplate on it to be really sure what I'm doing there or what I want to do. It's not that easy to figure out. And slowly, I think, yeah, we're getting there. Maybe you too are in this process. And I might mention that you, of course, I would welcome you to send me whatever podcast or letter you'd like to send me, because there's 1 week, I think not last week, but the week before that, right, when I also started publishing with this number two. This week I had the impression you were writing up something big, because yeah, you were typing all the time like me. Also some days I like to write those graphomaniac texts, mostly, I don't know, just some kind of diary or reflections or podcasting ideas, communist theory. Yeah, it's, it just flows out of my hand there, and I like to do it. Already since September, when I had this big role on my podcast in German, since number 110. Yeah, all those texts, smashing those other podcasts, as Stefan and Wolfgang, those knuckleheads, let's say. But no, it's, this is not adequate. Now in love, there's a big heart, and you feel like you're connected to everyone, every single person, and it's... yeah, every bitterness is gone, is vanishing. And yeah, of course, I feel also this admiration for them, for their podcasting, but then on the other hand, also contempt for everything that I played there. And yeah, but there I was writing all this up, and I had this idea that you also were writing up something, and I was hoping, oh man, imagining maybe you could also write a love letter to me. And yeah, I imagine this, maybe you're not finished yet, but yeah, you can take your time, of course, but I would feel so grateful to receive that. But yeah, we'll see. And I was also one time thinking of writing a text to you, how maybe leaving a small note for your birthday back then, and how we could figure this difficult situation out, and yeah, get back to normalcy. But then I thought, oh no, gotta leave it, gotta come up with a better plan, because no, this is not enough. And yeah, this is exactly the point. You are also the type of girl that provokes all this, yeah, exaggerated, totally exalted, and yeah, it's times feels inappropriate love talk, and this yeah, crazy romantic feelings and stories and words I create here, realities, right, through these words you create a new reality. And yeah, but you provoke this, because I have this feeling already in our first meetings back then in autumn that you, I don't know, there's something about you, and I really liked you when I first saw you and thought, oh, what an interesting girl, wow, she looks interesting, and wow, something about her. But then when we talked and when we went out for a walk one day with this other colleague also, and there I got this feeling, yeah, but there's something about you. Somehow I don't know what, but this reactive, this feminine way you like to get you like to appropriate this behavior for you, use these kinds of codes and feminine ways, and of course it's great, of course I love it. I say yeah, you can be however you want and as you like, and but just also it provoked me to make this point and make my podcast and say, yeah, now I gotta tell you about this and how I feel about those gender roles also. And yeah, I feel about it, and I simply say, yeah, of course I can take that male role, and I also did it for some time. It also always went by your place and started to talk, but I could even go on doing it. It's not like it's such a great burden. I only wanted to tell this, that in my view it's a disadvantage for women and it creates inequality when you start like this. It's like you have the white pieces in chess, and simply this I think I explained already. But yeah, with this one time when we were walking there the first time, we went out, and I had this feeling, this is the crazy feeling with I say this is today sexuality, liberalism is deeply entangled, is there's no way out, and there's no way out of this harmful ways of perceiving ourselves and others, of feeling in a competition, feeling you have to measure yourself and your achievements and how much you value, and there's no way out of it. And this is a bit of realization that it's also encoded in love, it's part of it, it's encoded in the reality. And but there was a nice feeling, this feeling, a tingling maybe, or yeah, just curiosity about you, and telling myself, why can't I be normal, just calm down, boy, it's a normal walk with a colicky. But still my mind is wandering, my mind is crazy, it's already so fast, going so fast, what is this interesting girl here. And this is and for this reason I say that all this sexual sphere can get you so anxious and so frightened that you don't even dare to talk to people you could feel attracted by. And therefore also comes all my determination about polyamory, because I feel that maybe can take off the pressure a little, maybe can acknowledge our human nature, that it's nice to have sex. I played this Argentinian podcast one time in my German podcast number 39, La Concha, it's titled The Valva, it's an Argentinian nickname for vulva, which is not a nasty word, of course, it's a really nice word, vulva, but concha is also nice. And they said there, yeah, sometimes you forget how nice it is to have sex when you didn't do it for some month and then you do it again. Shell is the literal translation of concha, seashell, but it means vagina, vulva, and they use it a lot in Argentina. And I like it that they also use those sexual organs, female organs, also. Of course, the male organs are a way bigger part of the discourse, and there are all kinds of swears where they use words for penis, but still this word concha always keeps popping up also in conversations in Argentinian Spanish. And that's a great thing, I think that's creating a more feminist environment compared to German, where you don't have that kinds of swears like la concha de tu madre, the vulva of your mother. Is a simple swear, you can say. And this already, I think, creates a kind of feminist setup, I must say. It's better to have this also present in the discourse, and that not only men are, it's not all about the male perspective and male organs. They said, yeah, sometimes you forget. It's so nice to have sex, and also Why is it so stigmatized? Why can't you simply go and tell someone on the street, yeah, you look great, wouldn't you like to have sex? Why does it always have to be that complicated and would be that simple? Of course, you can have sometimes the feeling that you simply want to have sex and want to talk to somebody on the street and say, yeah, you attracted me, wouldn't it be great? We entangled ourselves and tried it out in the bed and whatever. But this is sheer impossible, even for those brave girls there in Argentina. And yeah, this... So yeah, it's always part of us, this sexual desire, but then again it becomes... feels quite strange and not so good under this liberal prisma, this perspective, or this light in which our lives are shining, are lightened by this light of, well, the liberal markets, the free markets, and the accumulation of individual wealth. And this is a paradox, of course. Individual, how can it be an individual thing in love when the key factor about love is that you share and that you're equal and want to be one with this lover? But yeah, I get this feeling that I don't even want to talk to anyone who could be attractive, or don't want to try it, and yes, could be too shameful to even perceive those feelings in you, this curiosity or this simple need for sex, and then you think, no, this can't be. All of society is like this. You have to know the codes and have to know how to seduce. But how can this be? I simply want to have sex. This is feels bad. And this is great to express what Robert Fuller tells us about this dialectics, about the superstructure in the media is so sexualized, and in our material daily lives it's so ascetic. It's austere. There is a kind of fasting. Ascetics is what the monks do. They like to fast, not eat and starve and not have sex, of course, and be in this way showing themselves that they have an autonomous will. That's what Fuller tells us, that this is also a kind of perverted lust you feel then, that you're starving or that you're maybe not having sex, and that you tell yourself, oh yeah, at least I'm not an easy girl or an easy boy, and I know I have discipline, I have a will, and therefore this gives me also this feeling, satisfaction. And this is very interesting that, yeah, this satisfaction could be also there, but in a more, in a darker form. Die Lust oder die Unlust. Freud tells us this, that lust can also be there as its opposite, and its opposite content, but still be a kind of neurotic lust. And exactly this is what I wanted to say, that there's no way really of pursuing happiness, how to strive to be happy or for strive for pleasureful things. It's maybe not even in our nature, as Fala says. It's in our nature maybe to strive for depression and for sadness, like this Lana Del Rey song, also Summertime Sadness, so great. And here has to interfere society in order to tell us how to achieve pleasure or pleasurable things, do all kinds of stuff, like kissing, loving, that could be so joyful. And society has to tell us, there has to be this authoritarian structure, but of course This doesn't exist in today's liberalism. It all drives us crazy, individualistic, makes us think we should figure it out for ourselves. We have to be so autonomous, find our own way. But nobody can be that strong, like figuring it out for themselves. And therefore, maybe a vast part of people just don't love at all and say, let's be ascetic, let's fast, and let's relinquish, forgo, abstain, right? Abstain, like abstaining from alcohol or from a drug. Also, sex could be such a thing, activity that gets one so aroused. But of course, in my view, it's way more healthy than drugs, and drugs are not so good, like acetates. It doesn't ground you in this way. Lowers your imagination, imaginary force. Your thoughts maybe are slower. Exactly. And yeah, I wanted to explain only this. Yeah, I also don't know. This is an awkward position I put myself and ourselves in. This with these podcasts, but wanted to tell that it's not even my decision, individual decision. I feel like it's also your decision from the beginning, from the get-go. And yeah, you with these girly manners and stuff, and I totally perceived it, but thought, came up with this conclusion. Yeah, if there's a chance to love this girl, it's got to be in such a eccentric way, because she kind of demands it with her actions. She demands that I come up with something big and something so manly and so impressive, and yeah, gotta come up with this. So yeah, the position of the writer is a good point I annotated here, that now I'm talking about sex, and well, with my experience, I can't go into detail to how much sex or love relations bad, but I made some allusions that my experience is also restricted, not so vast, but in my experience, the course of those last years, there is this feel of shame, of course, when you don't have sex or you don't have a lover, and then, well, someone who feels creative, feels this creative Ader, a creative whatever inside him, a creative river flowing, creative muscle, and there you want to express and want to write things, but first you start off like this, like thinking, no, I shouldn't write, I'm not entitled to do this, because the other ones, they all know how to love, I don't know so much about life, like also working, like it is how it is really to work in a job, like when I was studying I never had this experience, and yeah, only 3 years ago I started this first job, this with this Festvertrag, with this formal contract that is fixed, which is also not so it's not so normal nowadays. All kinds of contracts are only for a year, like my roommate, also the one from Africa, from Eritrea, he told me he's working now for Mercedes, at least again, beginning this month, but just for a year. And yeah, this signing such a contract, like I did 3 years ago, also gives you this security, and this, yeah, whole new feeling about your life and your biography. And you're now a grown citizen and really part of this adult world. And yeah, I think this is even the bigger part than love, making you feel like you participate in this production sphere of society, and you're really working with your hands, and there's nothing anyone can tell you about your work, because you simply do it, and it's the thing your boss needs, your boss is telling you, yeah, or at least you're not doing such a bad job, it's not like he's angry with you, and at least that, yeah, you have this grounding of this sureness, sureness, maybe self-assurance. And yeah, but I say my position maybe before that, when going to university, and is like this, yeah, creative mind, but thinking, I don't even come to use my creativity because I'm so low and I want to hide myself, be hidden, because I'm not as sovereign as the others. And then slowly one goes forward, or Vortasten is the word I annotated here in German. Vortasten is to feel one's way slowly. You enter also in this love arena, love area, and then make some experiences and say, yeah, puh, ach so, die anderen wissen auch alle nicht Bescheid. Oh, well, the others, they all don't know the ropes either. They also don't know how to do it. Also, the people you're gonna love, also all your friends, they all have this underlying insecurities and really don't know what to do, especially in love, but also in work. In biography, of course, it's such a mess. In liberalism, and there's no positive socialist structure, not only superstructure, but the base structure, the economic production, and this, what the state tells you to do, all the, well, also this, that you're forced to go to military, like in Soviet Union, or the DDR, maybe was something good, and was here in Germany now abolished 10 years ago, 12 years ago, which I was, yeah, quite happy with that back then, but now I think, nah, it's also a kind of experience, and you didn't have to go to the military. You also could make another serve in a social service, make a social internship at a hospital or somewhere, and there you could also serve this 1 year or 1.5 years. And yeah, but all this authoritarian pressure is needed to really guide us in our lives and bring us into some, let the river flow in the riverbed, the flow's bed. Because if there's no boundary, where are you gonna go? How are you gonna know? The stream at the riverbed then is gonna be all flooded and going nowhere, and it's gonna be unproductive. The water flooding all the lands, and it's gonna cause a disaster, not flowing nicely towards the ocean. And this is how the individual and the society ought to work together. But in liberalism, we're really in a dark place. And exactly that is what I reject. Therefore, I reject Stefan and Wolfgang, although I said Stefan is such a big ideal role model for me. But still, it's just with all that they talked there, it's like, yeah, I don't even want to go back to thinking, because I've said it all. Don't want to entangle myself again in that thread. So they're totally missing the point about liberalism. I mean, this question to me, how can you be this blind? They're so intelligent, but yet totally blind for the reality before their own eyes. And Stefan, even, yeah, he planted all kinds of seeds, all kinds of ideas in me, but still in the grand picture, I say, he totally doesn't get it about liberalism and the reality we're living in. But okay. And yeah, this position of the writer or the coder, as I say, not the coder like in programming, but a writer, as he used to say, Stalin said that the writers, the literature workers, are the engineers of the souls. And that's so great, because it's right. And it's not only right in socialism, because in socialism, yeah, it's only more honest there. The government, the highest representative of the Soviet government says this out loud and says what he expects from all writers. But it's the same way in liberalism, only that it's, yeah, not that honest. It's not said out in the open loudly, but through all kinds of inherent pressures, inherent motivations and discipline rules, this disciplinary rule over our thoughts. Through this, the writers are raised and forced to write like this, like of course singing the song of liberalism, of democracy, and how we're gonna save the world by bringing democracy to every country. They are told, and they do of course what they're told, because it's the normal human behavior. You want to eat, you need to have your bread to feed your family, and you want to keep doing what the government and the people that are important for keeping your economic base, keeping your income, you want to tell them that everything is fine and what they're doing is fine and what we're all doing is fine, and we're all clapping on each other's back. And therefore I also say I need to be alone here in my podcast and really only don't even want to have this clap on the back from so many, but only from my lovers. And this would really feel special when you tell me, you did a good job there, or this episode I liked the most, and this and this is solely what I wrote down here. Dann bohre ich erst recht weiter nach. Also die anderen wissen auch alle nicht Bescheid. The others don't know Bescheid. It's a nice word. It's similar to Scheide. Bescheid wissen is to be on familiar ground. Bescheid sagen is like informing someone, to give the word. Bescheid wissen, to know the score. To be on familiar ground, to be up to date. Oh, update. And this reminds me of work. And I totally blundered it with this Docker thing. I'm so stupid. I'm the biggest idiot in the world. I felt this Docker is always ruining my day, and there's always no space left on the disk. And then I wanted to deinstall it, but it wasn't possible. And now it's not even starting. It can't be installed, can't be deinstalled. It totally, it's a mess. But wanted to express this because it also feels nice to be working there and having these blunders, having these unexplainable mistakes, right? Like I'm at least now at least a little already experienced software developer. Shouldn't make such mistakes, because there I wanted to delete it, but simply deleted the folder. But this is so stupid. How can you delete a folder of your program's folder? And now I don't know if this is going to be fixed, but we'll see tomorrow. And this is good. I mean, all those kinds of problems put then pressure on you, but this is good pressure. This is like a nail coming up the next nail. One nail drives out the other nail. There you forget about other problems when you're working and you have those kinds of problems. But okay, the others are also not up to date, and therefore I need to really, I will invest even more into this exploration of these topics and talk even more and think about it, even if it might be shameful. And to rebore, nachbohren, to ream something. Well, doesn't matter. I'm gonna stick on to this theme, to this topic, and and somehow it also feels like I'm caving a tunnel, and I just want to get out again and see the light on the other side. Because it's of course also this way, this thinking so much about sexuality and sexual desire, it also makes me feel like someday I want to get behind this and say this is biology or also psychology, but this can't interfere in my life. Therefore want to live this love, this spiritual love also, and so hard to figure out how this could be done in this liberal reactionary framework. And this I wanted to explain to you, especially also because now it feels like this is going so slow, and are you maybe disappointed that I didn't yet come to see you and speak again? But as I said, there's no rush, because it's even nicer if it's so slow and you savor the moment, right? And you took the initiative now, and therefore, yeah, I should also now step up. I feel, yeah. And yeah, it has, the tension has to be lowered. Of course, also it provokes these kinds of stupid mistakes in my programming work. It puts me under such a high tension that really, it's so crazy. Also, I got this feeling at times that my clients there at Porsche, my clients I write the software for, they're also kind of lovers. Or this one person, at least, he's the main guy there, the main chief, saying if it's okay, or his team is going to use our program and always has to test it and say, tell us what he wants, what new features. And I get this feeling, yes, also a lover, and I'm always ashamed if he finds a bug in my software and think, oh yeah, am I really worthy of you? And thinking, I want to deliver the best I can. And yeah, although maybe sometimes you're so unfair also to me, but it still in the greater picture, I find him especially a very nice person. And although in this capitalist framework you can see there is joy in working, and this can be a really pleasant thing and activity, I think. And also this is a crucial part of my discourse, to motivate people to say them, yeah, the communist revolution will come and occur in the future, hopefully. Therefore we're working and fostering our theory, but today, yeah, one might have to accept this capitalist rule and even find pleasure in it and say, okay, it's okay. It's okay to be part of it. I know, yeah, I'm also participating, and it's all such a catastrophe. It's really like the boat is sinking, not due to climate change, but really due to capitalism. It creates all these kinds of wars and nuclear threats and competitions. Whole countries or continents like Africa left behind and out-competed and thrown back into the dust and ripped of an economic environment where you can provide for your family and can have a life at least with the most basic needs. Of course, there is also bourgeoisie in a country like Senegal or Morocco, but very small bourgeois class, capitalist class compared to here, and not so powerful on the world stage. So therefore I say that these countries here in the core Europe, the EU imperialist project, these are really the high class countries. And even a proletarian here, or even someone who's out of a job, yeah, at least can feel like you're superior in this way. You're white. And this is the encoded racism, of course, on a world stage. Therefore comes this feeling of guilt. And here in the universities where they teach those liberal doctrines, they also talk a lot about racism, because it simply comes to the first surface again, this feeling of guilt. And that we all know, yeah, it's so racist how this economic capitalist system is ordered, entangled on the whole world basis. But yeah, we can at least say that we should prevent racism here in those narrow borders, in these small, it's really not a big continent, Europe, but at least here we say we strive to eliminate racism. Of course, it doesn't happen. It can't happen, because with this economic basis, with such antagonisms, always fights that keep popping up, in order to get off the attention of the, dissuade the attention of the workers to other topics and not rebel against capitalism, there have to come up all these xenophobic fights and xenophobic talking points. And yet this is the whole dialectic then between those right-wingers, as my conservative friend, or this AfD and CDU, and then in the university, in the media bubble, there's left-wingers. And yet it's totally, total unproductive intellectual fight. Therefore I have to stay in my own bubble, I say, because these fights are also in their own bubble, like those fights about gender theory also. It's all a fight of provoking each other and seeing what you can do to each other. Yeah, it's like cats and mouse, but not that nice, as in the office. It's cats and mouse in this way, cat and mouse, that, yeah, they're the woke people, the left-leaning people, and then they're the right-wingers, and they all want only to come up with some provocation, something to trigger the other one and say, well, yeah, you can't say woman anymore. You have to say it's a human with a Gebärmutter. With the uterus, womb, matrix, also nice. So this in Spanish, matriz is also Gebärmutter, but uterus is good. And yeah, so this was a debate some weeks ago that I don't really follow, but it's kind of nice to pick up at least these terms, like you should say human with a uterus instead of woman. But I don't even want to take sides in this, because this is crucial. I really want to abstain myself here in this field, totally abstain myself, because I feel this is such an unproductive fight, and they don't want to really talk about sex, about love, desire, and seduction. No, they're scared of this whole thing, and therefore they talk so much about gender. And it's not only the gender theorists, of course, also the anti-gender people, also the right wingers then are talking about how ridiculous this all is. And this is what I mean, they want to trigger each other, and they're pleased. It's also kind of a satisfaction, but unlustvoll, it's a dissatisfying kind of sex, it's a satisfaction. And this is the thing that bothers me really, because I want to talk here in earnest and give a deep talk about sex, but unlust is not even a word that says here. But they just want to, in these discussions, they just want to fool around, they want to mess around, and they therefore I say, no, I can't take this seriously, this doesn't bother me. And therefore it's also great to be surrounded with people from such not that high class countries like Germany, middle class or underdeveloped countries like Indonesia or Ukraine, or doesn't matter, Africa, South America, when you're in a bubble like here in this house with kind of people around you from these places, then you feel like you're also more grounded, and you're more attached to reality and not that detached. You can't really take those discussions seriously. And with that, of course, I don't want to say that gender theory is totally unimportant. It has surely great achievements and nice points to talk and think about, but still, my point is clear that in this societal framework of today, it's a total waste of time to even think about those fights. And I want to keep on rolling on my own track and really in my own bubble. And I'm therefore also talking about men and women. You don't have to be a man or a woman if you don't feel like it, and it's totally natural. Also homosexuality, of course, and there's other genders, but in biology or wherever. But it doesn't matter to me. I say, yeah, I totally get it that this is so authoritarian and you feel so suppressed by it. And also I, of course, felt this pressure and didn't want to be a real man. And yeah, now by talking I can approximate myself again to that position of being a man and feeling okay with it, but still not that great. Still, of course, I have to fight those fights and tell women that they should really be more on the initiative, be putting us men under some pressure and telling us what they want, or what they're going to take us down or whatever. And but I totally get it, you don't want to be part of this system, and it's a great thing that we're so liberal here, that you can live your sexuality, at least here in Germany. It's different to other countries that are more reactionary, also because they're economically underdeveloped. That leads to religion having a bigger influence over people. But there I say, if you don't want to be part of that binary structure, then this is great, but this doesn't mean that we should stop talking about those two binary genders, men and women, because It doesn't mean that you're less valuable as a person if we talk only about men and women and don't mention other genders, but it's also being, yeah, also taking you seriously as a trans or queer person. You don't want to be part of this, so yeah, you're going to be left aside, and this is exactly, I feel, what you want. Or of course I'm not feeling this way, but I'm imagining that you want to be out of this system and of the structure, and therefore it's contradictorial to then say again, yeah, but you have to mention everyone, which is simply not possible for practical reasons. So for practical reasons, you can't always talk about this and that gender, and therefore it's okay to talk about men and women and say, yeah, this is what's expected from men and I don't like this, and this is the female position in society today, and we have to change this, but we don't have to abolish femininity or masculinity in itself. We don't have to say no, we have to cross it out and say there's no more formal structures, no more talk or place of being a man, being a woman, identifying as this. No, this should be kept. These are valid terms, and because you have to, in order to see reality, perceive the reality out there, you have to use some words. This is the whole point I'm making always in my podcast, also to you, dear listeners, to encourage you to speak up. To speak up in your personal lives or in your personal podcasts. And yeah, you have to use a term, but if you're going to forbid that and say it all has to be non-binary, then we can't use that terms again, or at least not talk that simply about men and women. You always have to think in the back of your head, oh well, who could I be leaving out here, and who could be hurt by my words if I say this or that. Then yeah, it prohibits the thinking, but you can't perceive anything, you can't think anything about reality, and this is really sad. And this is all I gotta say in this. With this, I don't want to. I can't go on for so much longer because I feel I need to sleep. Also, be really in my best game again tomorrow on Friday to fix this stalker problem. But okay, my colleague already said me he could help me out there and could do it with his stalker. It's so great, and to get back there. Yeah, therefore I have to be. Have to ground myself again, and being really not too viceful, also being maybe making meditation, because tomorrow I don't know what will happen. It could be anything happening, and just want to do a good job at work to then maybe feel this other field that's there present, this other magnetic field at work, that maybe there I can also be a little more relaxed and feel at ease, but only if I can do a great job and can be secure there. Yeah, this is the thing. This other lover, the economic lover, and or my client, and yeah, and so there might be a feeling of you. This is time wasting, like I wrote in the show notes one time. Zeitspiel, they say in football, when one team is leading or one team is even losing, like against Bayern München, because Bayern is such a strong team. Some teams did this in the really great times of Bayern. Well, not today, they're not that strong, but under Pep Guardiola, some teams were so desperate that if they were only one goal or two goals down against Bayern, they would already do this Zeitspiel, time wasting, because they thought, oh yeah, that's a great result against Bayern. We can stay with this. We're happy with this result, and therefore, and yeah, this is in football. There's a cure, of course, mainly when one team is leading or you're happy with the draw, then you do this kind of Zeitspiel and play around there in your defense, maybe control the ball and shovel it there from one side to another, and without making any progress, but also without endangering anything. And yeah, this is exactly what I'm doing here in my podcast, I feel, and yeah, of course, but also to signal to you how difficult this is also to me, and that yeah, I have to go to process, but it's also kind of ridiculous, of course, that yeah, how can you be so insecure? You should at least man up and step up, and yeah, I will and should, and but yeah, and this is time wasting. But here I wrote something down. As an artist, I feel quite comfortable with such a deep but impossible love. My lovers being far from me, luring, enticing, tempting, but never really there. It's so nice to live this platonical love. Express, put into words, the polyvalent feeling of attraction and affection towards two women. Construct the firing or icy wall, separating the inner circle where I'm at ease, at a safe haven or asylum, an inner cave like Jon Snow and his wildling woman. This refers back to what I said 2 episodes ago. These episodes put me in front of a gigantic task, but one that I always wanted to solve, being confronted with to love two persons, having to love two persons, or yeah, this problem simply, how is this possible? Can this really be possible? No. Because this underlying fear was always there. How can it be? If this is such a special bond right now, it feels we are tied together until eternity, but what if one of us saw a new person? Exactly. And yeah, I must say to you, yeah, you provoked me, but also I had this feeling, I didn't conceive this plan, but like on Christmas there was this really bad feeling, but also this feeling now, those past weeks since I started publishing this, Meet My People, and there I should have looked you in the eye, because I thought you were following my podcast, and yeah, I should have looked, but was too shy back then, and maybe... But I would have been so nice to see if there was something in your eyes, some sign that you had heard this episode. And yeah, but I don't know why I'm this way. I'm so sluggish and yeah, holding on to my desk and not really able to lift my head. Although I know it would be so great. But yeah, there... Yeah, there I then felt this last month now, oh, it's so great that you let me do this, let me love you in this way, this crazy distanced way also, and wow, this was all I ever could ask for, right? And this is the difficult subject that, yeah, sometimes it feels like this, that love is so high, you better stay there as a humble man, you feel you're not worth it, and yeah, therefore it's so slow, and therefore I need to talk, sich Mut zu reden, talk myself into a state where I can be really mutig, brave, and unlustvoll. This is the opposite of Lust. Lust is reluctant, they say here. Reluctance. Listlessness, Lustlosigkeit. This is what Freud talked about, that lust can also be there, but in a manner that is rather reluctant, rather unlustful. Lusty? It's not lusty. It's there, but it's not lusty. But okay. And yeah, so this is a gigantic task, and yeah, just also because of this feeling that in liberalism it's a sexual market and we compete in such a dark outset, it's really, well, I'm felt underwhelmed and really being thrown in the dust and being not worth anything. This is what liberalism does to us and to our souls, and ruins our lives, our biographies, our minds, and yeah, feelings. And because of this feeling also, I had this need to express my whole theory here and theorize a lot. And it's really this way, as I tweeted one time, it's kind of true that I rather like to theorize about sex than going to act on it. And only if someone would seduce me really, really nicely, then I could consider this option. But it would to be one of a kind of the seduction. And I feel now, this is maybe kind of mutual seduction. I don't know what you feel about it. But I think with this I can come to a close here, because I feel my energy level kind of low, and the points I want to touch now that are still left on my sheet here, they're maybe more difficult and put me in an even more difficult, uncomfortable or challenging place as I am already now. But there was one, of course, a poem I wrote up also this week when you were there. Yeah, I thought you were writing a lot. So, Grave Maniac. And there I thought about, this poem. I have to write this poem because I felt so bad then this one time we were both there alone in the office and felt so bad not talking to you, and went home and just wanted to punch myself in the face and said, And there I needed to write up this poem. But before I can read that, maybe I can read here a small text. But then we really gotta come too close. Or maybe you read that poem another time, next time. Yeah, there's no rush, right? It's not like running out of time. And at least there's no end of the game like in football, right? Who can know what would really time wasting be? I mean, there's an end of life someday, but in this way, love is a game that is way more open and not restrained. Like the chessboard, I said also, there are only those 64 fields where you can put a chess piece, but no, it's our human minds are so complicated, they want to be confronted with complicated problems. That's what Michel Houellebecq said, the French writer. That also what leads to this whole depression, and he's also a big critic of liberalism, anti-liberal, and he says that our brains are made for solving or intriguing ourselves, entangling into very complicated stories, and the life we lead on a daily basis is simply too boring, it's too monotonous for this, and there needs to be a solution. This is the whole problem, that the brains we have are not fitted to this life we lead. And this is also kind of depressing, Michel Houellebecq always writing in this way, like as if we could solve this problem by having brains that were not so, by adjusting our brains to this dumb reality. But as a communist, of course, you want to adjust reality, not adjust your mind, and say we have to adjust reality to our minds and to our wishes and our needs and the plans for living a more joyful socialist life, where you feel entangled and feel like this is the whole truth, that you produce and work together with other people and share the fruits of your work, the products, because who can have a product for themselves would enslave you. It's better to share and not be thrown into this liberal market as an individual, but also as a whole country. The country's all competing and so many losing out and left behind. It's not a good situation, because also the winners will be unable to really enjoy their win, because they know there's so many losing. It's not like in chess, where you feel it's a fair game and you can shake hands after. But no, here you feel there's so many people starving, and we all know about it. There's all kinds of this help organizations that are then trying to sign up people in the inner cities here, and yeah, the people. So what I mean is that the Germans are confronted with this harsh reality out there in the world on a daily basis, and we all know it. And it's so brutal to, yeah, be forced to keep on working and participating in this liberal democracy, and being told that this is totally the right system, and if there's anything wrong with the world, it's not with us, it's not our fault, it's with the rest of the world. They're not really reaching our standards, and we're simply on the winning side. And yeah, but then being confronted with that brutal, obscene reality, it's kind of clear for everyone that this is not the whole truth, and it's hidden by the discourse, because communism has been discredited. And yeah, I mean, there's no way out. My point is simply that communism is not the golden answer to everything, but it makes a lot more sense when you start looking at it like this, that this could be a legitimate answer, could have some legitimate points in it. And it doesn't matter a bit what this liberal discourse says about communism, because it's encoded in itself, in it, that communism is the enemy, it's the other, and it's it's a very historically grounded fight that was put up there in the Cold War, and also before that by the fascists against communists. They defined their whole identity, like the Nazis defined themselves as being anti-communist, being having to stand up against this great threat from the East. And yeah, so this is such a big thing encrypted in history and in all our beings. And this communism, don't know why I got here. I wanted to talk only about love, but maybe you can understand maybe also a bit my standpoint. And yeah, as I wrote also in the show notes, I only want to believe what you believe is true or is acceptable. And yeah, it's totally this way in love. It's this crazy that really you should, if we could talk one day again, you should speak your mind and not be that impressed by my theories or my opinions, because it all doesn't matter really. It's all, yeah, something I put out here to entangle you. I mean, you have to come up with something as a man. You have to do this, and but still remember that it's only the best thing I could, or the easiest thing I could come up with, talking here in my podcast and entangling you, trying to make you approach or look at me. And let me only read out this last paragraph as a outro for today. That's what I wrote up here. Yes, dear lovers, let's face it, I can't be the easiest person to live with. Yet I want to love and live with you, both of you. And yeah, this seems so complicated, right? I'm so complicated because I care more about proving my theory about polyamorous love right than actually loving a real person. But this is a fight I have to win. All of humankind is in this game. Our future is at stake. I'm aiming for the liberation of all of us, not just of you and me. Well, maybe this might sound a little fanatic or little exaggerated, pointing too high, but look at this, what I said about the winners not being able to enjoy the victory, really. Yeah, how could I enjoy this victory? Like, coming to the big top of the mountain of reaching that love relationship, but then if it's so monogamous, it's so private, like the bourgeois wealth is privately guarded. It's a class struggle. The upper class is winning and beating down the working class. And this wouldn't feel right, then how could I enjoy this love? Therefore, I have to fight, and yeah, this is so complicated, right? And this is also a little, neurotic, maybe, to feel this way. You have to theorize more. You have to this theory you can really love. But okay, it's normal to have contradicting thoughts in love. Yes, of course, I think from time to time, oh my God, that woman is so special and I want to gift myself to her for all of my life. But then I think, no, it must be possible to let other love affairs intrude into that relation. This doesn't have to be a contradiction. We can be true or loyal to each other, talk and see what could be acceptable as an affair, a foreign intruder in our love relationship. This doesn't take away anything from our love. It only makes it stronger. And I want to be strong. So you have a stronghold you can hold on to. But in this reactionary societal framework, in order to be strong, you'd have to think in depth about your own wishes and then grab onto them and fight every part of the way to enforce them against the sluggish concepts of normalcy that surround us or that form us, guard or incarcerate us. This is a little hard, yes, but I feel so confident when I see you or think of you. It can all be done if we plan it right. Now is the time. It's time to lay off my internal fights and live the moment. Right. And it doesn't take away anything from love. It can be an eternal love and should be, or at least could be tried. And still, you can say there can be an affair. And I feel this need of also telling, being honest in this way. Yeah, you can tell the other person about the affair. Or maybe after, you could also hide it for some month. But then if you feel it's more something lasting, this other affair, you also maybe should tell each other. Because then it's really something that also concerns this other relationship. But yeah, if you want to have sex with someone and it's just a nice adventure, I don't even see the point of why you would necessarily have to be that honest and say, yeah, this is what I do. I have to tell everything to my partner. Now, sometimes it's good to keep those secrets, says Robert Faller, or it's simply necessary. Also, secret makes you attractive, makes you feel the other person has abysses. It hides from me, or it simply needs that abyss. It needs a space where it can be for itself, for themselves. This other person doesn't have to be, doesn't even have to do anything with love or sex. It could have to do with a need for another sex affair, but it can be something wholly different, some dark thoughts, not suicidal maybe, but some, well, or some shame, deeply programmed shame about your personality. And yes, something that can't be shared so easily, and the other person could then perceive this, that you have a dark spot or a secret there. And Faller says this would be even a sign of love, that you see and accept that the other one can't talk about it or doesn't know how to talk about it, and could you could pretend like you didn't notice anything. You didn't notice it, the dark spot, whatever kind of spot. And yeah, this could be also a sign of mutual respect and love you feel, and you want to guard this relationship. But of course, it depends on the situation. Of course, I don't say it's always good to hide your thoughts. Of course, not in love, and no, but it applies to certain circumstances, where those second worlds, those imaginary other constructs come into being. And yeah, I don't even know what a dark spot could be for me, because here I kind of say it all, but maybe still there's things I hid or things that I feel also crucial to my life that I didn't tell my ex-girlfriend, my special bird. And maybe could tell her in the future, but still it's, I don't know. There's those dark secrets. You also want to be attractive and say, yeah, I could tell you more, but you really have to entice me and also be committed. And yeah, after, you want to right moment comes, then can say it all. Yeah, this is so difficult. I don't even know what I'm expressing here. And therefore, this could be a great moment to stop the podcast and say, I can play one more song. Songs are all legal, if, in case you're wondering. I'm a legal citizen, right? And I don't commit violations of laws. Like, I have this... contract with the GEMA, with the music publishing company, that allows me to use this in my podcast. And yeah, I think this makes the podcast better, and I like to pay for it. And this one has to be slow now, I feel, because also in a kind of slow contemplative mood now. Can't be such a fast and rolling song. It has to be nice and slow. I think this one is looking good to me. Yeah, because I like this serious grabs. Oh, this, I think I watched already every episode 2 or 3 times. Well, I think 2 times I watched it all. But yeah, Scrubs, such a great series. I also like to binge watch early in university. I had a lot of time. Saw How I Met Your Mother, but yeah, Scrubs is really the thing. It's also a little older. I think it's was published, released in that time when I was growing up as an adolescent, 2006 or 2010. I don't know, but it's a little older than How I Met Your Mother. And this is great band in it with Ted. This actor already died, sadly, but he has this great band in this song, Hey Ya. I don't know, it's a cover, I think, from another band, but it doesn't matter. And it's great, it puts us in a great mood to let go everything tonight and, yeah, feel this socialist net and connection to you, dear listeners or lovers, I might say. All of my listeners, of course, are in a way also lovers. I feel... I can't explain that to length, but yeah, it feels this way right now. And with that, I say, thank you for your courage and for your courageous listening today, and goodbye.
Don't mess around, because she loves me so, and this I know for sure. But does she really wanna, but can't stand to see me walk out the door? I can't stand to fight the feeling, cause the thought alone is killing me right now. Thank God for Mom and Dad for sticking two together, cause we don't know how. Hey, 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 think you got it, no, you think you got it, but got it, just don't get it till there's nothing at all, all, all. We get together, oh, we get together, but separate's always better when there's feelings involved, all, all. If what they say that nothing is forever, then what makes them, what makes them, what makes love the exception? So why oh, are we so in denial when we know we're not happy here? Yeah. than being cool.
Ice cold.
I can't hear you, oh no. I say, what's cooler than being cool?
Ice cold.
Yeah, all right, yeah, all right. All right. And all right, 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 now, ladies. We're gonna break it down in just a few seconds here. Don't make me break it down for nothing. I wanna see you all on your all's baddest behavior. I said, lend me some sugar.
I am your neighbor.
Shake it, shake, shake, shake it. Shake, shake, shake it. Shake, shake,
shake it. Shake it, shake it.
Shake, shake,
shake it.
Like a Polaroid.
Shake it,
shake, shake,
shake it.
Shake, shake,
shake it.
Shake, shake,
shake it. Shake, shake,
shake it. Shake,
shake, shake
it. Polaroid picture now,
but shake it.
Oh no, shake it. Shake,
shake, shake it. Shake it, shake it.
Shake, shake, shake it. Like a Polaroid picture now, but shake it. Shake it, shake, shake, yeah, shake it, shake, shake, shake it. Oh no, shake it up and shake it up and hey, yeah.